Hi, this is Amber. I am a healer and a teacher. And today's website is focused on the concept of being in our power. It's a phrase that's used quite a lot in circles, meditation circles, shamanic circles. I've come across the phrase many times in my own initiations and circle work, both as a student and as a teacher, and I love the phrase. It's something I'll often use in my own healing sessions with clients, and certainly when I'm teaching Reiki. And I think there are a few strands to the phrase being in our power that it might be worthwhile unpicking in today's podcast, predominantly because the concept of what it means to be powerful is something that so many of us seem to be striving for, and yet it can often feel so elusive. My feeling is that the main reason around this is that we have quite a distorted view of what power means, and because we have a distorted view of power, we are often hesitant to step into our power for fear of becoming something that is grotesque. Power for me is about being our most connected, and by that I mean being the highest version of ourselves. For me, in terms of my spiritual beliefs and practices, it would mean being connected to our divine self. And by divine, I mean that part of us that is all-knowing, all-seeing, all-loving, all-encompassing. For me, we reside on many different dimensions, and the physical dimension is just one of many. We have a spiritual self, an emotional self, a physical self, a mental self, bodies, if you wish to call it that label. But we reside in many different dimensions, in many different spheres. And being in our power is about an alignment of all these spheres and dimensions of living, so that we are one full, complete being that is forever in tune with our truth in everything that we say, in everything that we do, and in the lives that we're living. And how do we know this? Well, we know this because the very opposite of that is feeling incomplete, is feeling as if we are living by a set of rules that aren't our own, is feeling trapped or feeling fearful. So for me, therefore, being in our power would be feeling fearless, feeling all-loving, feeling free, feeling creatively free, being able to express our needs in a mindful and empowered and compassionate way, not holding on to resentments of any kind, feeling unencumbered by the past, feeling hopeful, feeling as if we can manifest absolutely anything that we wish for in this world, in this life, as long as it is coming from a place of love and compassion and truth and isn't about subjugating another. So power for me is therefore not about subjugation or domination or ego, or making another feel inferior in some way. Power for me is about celebrating who we are and celebrating the things that bring us joy and make us feel happy, and the things in life and in our personal experiences that make us feel completely all loving, all expressive, all knowing, all being. Now, obviously, we can't, being physical beings, we can't possibly be in this state 100% all the time, but we can certainly aim to be in this state 100% all of the time, and then know that there are going to be moments in our life when we are operating at 90% in our power, 80% or 70%. But really, we hopefully are not going to drop below that, because the consequences of not being in our power are that we end up living a life that is incomplete, feels incomplete, and we can often do or say things that are harmful to ourselves or to others, and that will then have an effect on us emotionally and physically. Physical symptoms, I would say, of not being in our power are chronic illness, And that includes chronic aches and pains that simply don't seem to go. Being unable to fulfill desires or projects. So if things are left half undone or goals are never met, feeling physically unfulfilled in the lives that we live. So feeling that we're below par in our physical prowess. So, we don't feel as if we are living our lives to the fullest physical expression that we can, but also feeling as if we are somehow not living our lives to our fullest expression in the work that we do or the relationships that we have. Very often, where I tend to see people not being in their power is in relationships or in their careers. So they're either, not speaking their truth in relationships, or they're not speaking their truth in the workplace, or both. And for me, that means we're not in our power. Being in our power is about being able to express our needs in a way that is mindful and in a way that is compassionate to ourselves and to another. And of course, that's a journey and that's a learning experience, and it's a muscle that we need to exercise. And we're going to get it right sometimes, and sometimes we're going to be way off track. And that's a process of being a living, breathing human being. Why is it important to be in our power? I think it's important to be in our power so that we can fulfill our life mission. Now, people often use this phrase, life mission or life purpose, and it can sometimes become misused. It can sometimes, again, be about power, as in exerting power over another, or ego, or saying that somehow we're better than the next person because we have a life mission. Everyone is here to fulfill something. On a very simple level, we've all come to this planet so we could do something. We didn't just come here by accident and then, decided to bumble around a bit until we die. We're here for a specific reason. Now, whether that reason is to, fulfill something, to do something, to create a project, or whether that is to live as loving and joyful a life as possible, or as creative a life as possible, or whatever that is, that's going to be unique to each individual. And in terms of our life purposes and our life missions, everyone has their own individual purpose for being here. And what often happens when people are searching for their life purpose or their life mission is we go into a place of comparison. So we think that, to have a life mission, to be of use while we're here, it must mean that we're here to do something completely extraordinary. And then we start to grade what extraordinary means. So we start to say, well, I can't be as extraordinary as Michelangelo, or I can't be as extraordinary as some film director or some movie star, because that's what it being extraordinary means. That's what fulfilling a life purpose means. But actually, fulfilling your life purpose is individual to you. And so if we look to people and we're inspired by them, if we're inspired by Michelangelo, if we're inspired by a film director or a singer or a dancer or whatever it is, that's a great thing, because we're inspired by the fact that someone is fulfilling their life purpose. And we can smell it, we can see it, we can feel it. And we can feel it because we see that it brings them joy, and because it brings them joy, it brings other people joy. And it creates an expansive energy all around them, a sort of radiance. And that's the thing, really, that we're inspired by. So when it comes to life purposes and life missions, I think it's really important that we look for the thing that makes us feel as radiant as possible, as joyful as possible, because that will be the thing, that will be the clue to why you're here, what you're here to do. And then we expand upon that. There's no point in looking to people who've achieved great things and saying, well, I could do that, when it's not really our life, it's not your life purpose, it's not your life mission. So when it comes to life purpose and life mission, which is all linked in with being in our power, the way that we resonate with that is to ask ourselves, what gives me the greatest joy? It won't just be one thing, it'll be many different things often. And how we then start to discover what we're here to do, what we're here to fulfill, is by following the things that give us joy. Now, that can sometimes sound more complicated than it is, or it can conversely sound incredibly simple and therefore not worth pursuing. But it is as simple as simply doing more of the things that make you happy and less of the things that make you unhappy. So if you're in a job from 9 to 5 or 9 to 6 or whatever your hours may be that makes you utterly miserable, chances are that's not what you're here to do. So the question to ask yourself is, what is it that gives you joy? Now, you might not know right now. Often for many people, they have lived lives so disconnected from their truth and so disconnected from their joy that when they're asked that question, they really don't feel that they can give an answer. But we all have an answer to that. And it might be something really simple. It could be the thing that gives you most joy is being out in nature. Or it could be the thing that gives you most joy is singing or dancing or writing or painting or looking after animals. And before we jump to how am I going to make that into a career and then earn money from it and live in the world and be accepted by my family and accepted by my peers and succeed at it, before we jump to all those things which are actually just obstacles to living our lives in fulfillment and in true power, the thing to really focus on is doing more of the thing that gives you joy. So if being out in nature gives you joy, spending more time out in nature is going to fill you with more joy, which is then going to open your mind and your heart and your consciousness to more of what you want your life to be about. And therefore, opportunities will come your way, or you will be better placed to see opportunities as they come your way and then act upon them. So we take it step by step, and we simply follow our intuition. We follow what feels right, to a place where we are so resonating with joy and happiness and love and innate self-confidence and self-belief that we are better placed to start following those clues to what it is that we're here to do. It can seem like quite a haphazard process, and in a way it is, and in a way it's incredibly simple. It's about making sure that every day you're doing something that makes you happy. Genuinely happy. Now, often we mistake happiness with distraction. So people will say, well, you know, going out and getting really drunk makes me happy, or, you know, eating a big slice of cake makes me happy, or gambling makes me happy, or spending time with my friends makes me happy, or being in a relationship makes me happy. And I'm sure, you know, there's no judgment here, so I'm sure those things on some level create happiness. But all of those things are dependent on other people. They're dependent on something outside of yourself. And the purpose, the point of being in our power is that we are self-sufficient, is that we are able to generate those great feelings for ourselves without being dependent on another. And that's what makes us powerful. If our happiness is based on a glass of wine, or that perfect relationship, or, you know, hanging out with a certain friend, or, you know, going to see a film, then our happiness is based on something that is outside of ourselves. And when the external starts to change, when that relationship doesn't work out or goes through a blip, when that friend is busy or starts to annoy us, when that film is over and there are no other films to inspire us, what are we going to do to find our inspiration, to feel powerful, to feel happy, to feel joyful, to feel fulfilled? We're going to crash and burn, and then we live a life of highs and lows. So therefore, the things that make us happy have to be things that come from ourselves. And therefore, they are often things that are about expressing the truth of who we are. And therefore, they are often creative pursuits without placing judgment on the efficacy or the results of the creativity. So if singing makes you happy, it really doesn't matter whether you're a tenor, an alto, a soprano, whether you've got an operatic voice or you're the next, you know, pop singer. It just matters that you feel happy when you open your mouth and sound comes out. And then if you want to train and refine that, brilliant, go off and do that and see where that takes you. But always remember that the thing that you are fueling is the happiness, not necessarily the end product. The end product will take care of itself if you are in a state of joy and power and fulfillment. So that for me is what being in our power is about, and how intrinsically it is linked to life purpose, to why we're here. And so around that are the concepts, are the real practices of self-love, of non-judgment, of living life according to our own truth, of honoring our truth, which is another phrase that's often used in circles, and of speaking our truth. And that is our truth, not someone else's, not what we're told is a truth, but what we believe is a truth. The only absolutes, in a sense, are the absolutes that we feed ourselves. Everything else, everything other, is open to interpretation and is fluid. And often our opinions and judgments on things will consistently be changing and transforming as is appropriate because we are evolving beings. We're not stagnant beings. Our cells, our bodies, our skin, our hair is constantly changing, shedding, regrowing. New life is constantly being birthed in us. Therefore, we cannot be stagnant beings. And if our desires and our thoughts and our the things that bring us joy aren't constantly evolving, then we've turned into a stagnant being. And if we look at any stagnant pond, we can see that it's, pretty grim to be around, it's pretty smelly, nothing much is growing there, and it's not very appealing to be in the presence of. And we don't want to be that. We don't want to be a stagnant being that isn't very appealing to be around. We want to be something that's constantly flowing and moving and generating life and releasing. So being in our power is about allowing life to flow through us also, and understanding that everything is fluid. And when we're in our power, we understand that things come and go, people come and go, opportunities come and go, events come and go. And for everything that we release, there will be something new that will come into our lives. And that is meant for us shall return to us in one form or another. And therefore, being in our power for me is about incredible self-belief and incredible faith. Now, it doesn't mean faith in a set of principles that jar with us. It means faith in the principles that apply to you that come from a space of the heart. I think often the word faith is given quite tricky connotations because we can sometimes associate it with religion, organized religion, or having to go to church or synagogue or mosque or temple or whatever it is that was our institution that we didn't want to go to. But faith is just utter belief in oneself and if it assists in something greater than oneself. Now, for some people, it is important to have faith in something greater than oneself, whether that be the universe, the spirits, the elements, the angelic kingdom, God, the goddess. The divine, whatever labels we want to put on the unknown, or whether it be faith in oneself. I often feel that language can be very crippling for us, and language has such a history to it that it's so hard to find definitions that resonate for us. But it's important to find language that resonates for you. So if the word faith doesn't work for you, or if the word God doesn't work for you, or if the word spirit doesn't work for you, then it's for you to find your own definitions that feel appropriate to have as your anchors. So perhaps you don't believe in the label God, but you do believe that there is a force that is greater than us. So it's for you to work out what you're going to call that force. For some people, God is a man in the sky with a white beard. I mean, genuinely, that's their image of God, and for others, God is Jesus, and for others, God is light, and for others, God is love and the emotion of love. Similarly, for some, the goddess is a particular goddess, and for others, the goddess is the land, and for others, the goddess is something completely different. So it's for you to work out what terms feel most appropriate and most comfortable for you, so you can start to give yourself a framework of terms when it comes to the intricacies of what being in one's power are. Being in one's power is a really sprawling term that we work through, that we define on our journey, on our spiritual journeys and our healing journeys. So I'm just planting a seed of questioning. What does being in your power mean for you? And how will you know it? And are you in it right now? And if you're not, what can you do to start to change things so you can be in it? And tied in with that is, what are you here to do? Are you fulfilling what you're here to do? Do you feel fulfilled? And if not, how can you start to change that? And tied in with that is, how will you know that you are fulfilled? How will you know that you can do this, that you're not alone? And what will give you faith and belief that this is all attainable and that this isn't all some horrible joke that's going to go horribly wrong, at your expense? And it's and what will be those hooks for you of faith, of belief, that will keep you going through the dark nights of the soul, that will keep you going as you As you start to peel away what isn't your truth, as you start to peel away what is disempowering, and you start to step into what is ultimately simplicity and power at its most truthful, most naked, and most loving. So these are just seeds for you to sit with, things to percolate, and possibly to start some questionings, which I hope that this short podcast will have done. If you wish to dive deeper into any of this work, then please do have a look at the website. The address is sacredspacehealing.org, and that's all one word, sacredspacehealing.org. There's some information there on the healing sessions that I provide, and also some more podcasts and writings that may assist you, as well as meditations that may assist as well. So see if any of it calls to you, see if any of it makes you feel as if it may assist you in coming to know your true self. And until the next time, so it is and so it shall be.